Revisiting the banking crisis on Capitol Hill. From Marketplace, I'm Sari Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The former CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, Gregory Becker, is headed to the House of Representatives today to testify as part of a hearing on the recent banking crisis. In a separate hearing in the Senate, one of the bank's critics is testifying too, the Federal Reserve's top banking watchdog. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now with the details. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So one of the issues on the table today as part of this broader examination of the banking crisis is bank executives' pay. What are you expecting on that?
The Fed's Vice Chair for Supervision, Michael Barr, will be testifying today before the House Financial Services Committee. I got a look at his testimony, Sabri, and he plans to say there should be stronger Fed oversight of how banks reward their executives. Barr says SVB's executives, in his words, were not compensated to manage the bank's risk, and they did not do so effectively.
Now, at the exact same time this morning, we'll be hearing from former CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, who will be testifying before the Senate Banking Committee. What's he expected to say about this?
Yeah, that is Greg Becker. And his testimony was also released in advance. He plans to say he met consistently with the bank's regulators. He also says no bank could have survived a run like SVB experienced. He says at one point, about $1 million was being withdrawn out of the bank every second.
Yeah, that's wild. What types of solutions would be, are going to be talked about here?
Regulation, for sure. Barr says the Fed needs to take a fresh look at how it oversees the risks of interest rate fluctuations for banks. On the other side of the Capitol, Senator Elizabeth Warren has criticized former SVB CEO Becker for lobbying Congress to loosen banking regulations in the past. He is in for some very tough questions from that committee, Sabri.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We've got retail sales numbers for April. They were up 0.4%. Not as much as expected, but better than March, when retail sales actually fell 0.7%. Jeffrey Cleveland is here to help us read these tea leaves. He's chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Sabri.
So can you remind us why we care about retail sales, why they're important right now in this economy?
Well, we care about retail sales because the U.S. consumer powers the economy. Consumer spending is roughly 70% of the economy, and retail spending is about, let's say, 30% of total consumer spending. So it's an important chunk of spending to watch.
So then what does it mean that retail sales fell in March and then came back kind of softly in April?
Well, we tend to focus on a subset of retail sales, which excludes gasoline, building materials, autos, and food services. And that subset was actually up 0.7% in the month of April. And that is more than expected, but also a bounce back from two negative months in February and March. These figures will feed in to the GDP calculation for the second quarter, which means the U.S. economy probably grew at a pretty good rate in Q2. And that defies the narrative out there that we are in or on the cusp of a recession.
Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel, thank you so much.
Have a great week.
Flood insurance could cost you a lot more than it used to. FEMA's National Flood Insurance Program updated its system for figuring out how much flood risk a property has. In some counties, that would increase flood insurance rates by 600%. Ali Budner has more on the fallout for homeowners and communities.
The old way of calculating flood insurance prices was based on outdated flood maps. The new calculations take a more realistic look at all the factors: rainfall, how close a property is to the ocean, rebuilding costs. But that more comprehensive look has consequences.
This is already affecting the real estate market in places across the country.
Peter Wagner is with the Coalition for Sustainable Flood Insurance, based in New Orleans. He says some homeowners don't have the means to pay these higher premiums. Wagner's coalition wants the government to subsidize the costs for low-income property owners.
They could receive a discount from that based on their ability to pay so that they could stay in their home and continue to serve the community that they live in.
Some communities might be affected by this that never expected to need flood insurance, like desert communities that get hit with rain after a severe wildfire. Those places, too, could now face floods and higher costs. Penny Liao is an environmental economist at Resources for the Future.
Some people living in inland areas could also see their rate go up.
According to data from the NFIP, some of the states expected to see significant average rate increases are inland states like West Virginia, South Dakota, and Missouri. But in certain ways, Liao says the new pricing system may be more fair. The old rates didn't take into account how much a home was worth or what it would cost to rebuild it if it was destroyed by a flood. Now,
lower value homeowners are no longer subsidizing some of these higher value homes.
And more accurately reflects an individual property's risk.
Mark Friedlander is with the nonprofit Insurance Information Institute. He sees this affecting the private flood insurance market too.
There are dozens of private insurers that offer flood insurance across the U.S., and they are very competitive.
And really, Peter Wagner says the NFIP didn't have many other options here. The program is more than $20 billion in debt, thanks to Hurricane Katrina payouts and years of underpriced premiums.
Because NFIP has been operating in the red for many, many years. This year alone, FEMA will spend about $600 million paying the U.S. Treasury to service its debt.
Now, he says, FEMA has to pass those costs along to policyholders. I'm Allie Budner for Marketplace.
Our producers are Katie Barnfield, James Graham, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.